Brethren in the Ministry. Sanitarium, National City, California, September 13, 1905. To my brethren in the ministry. In your work, you will hear and see much that will try your soul to the quick. The powers of darkness are constantly working to make the truth of God of no effect. Some, who in times past have been honored of God, have become ensnared by the deceptions of the enemy. They have been warned of their danger, but in refusing to hear the warning sent them, they have become more and more deceived, until finally they are found fighting against the Lord and against his workers. Those who stand upon the rock of eternal truth will sometimes meet such opposition as will call for very decided action. At such times, let every word be carefully weighed, lest you injure the souls of those you desire to help. Keep your tongue as with a bridle. Remember that God has not given to you the work of judging your brethren. Live near to the Lord and seek his grace. Do not, in public or in private, speak words that will arouse a spirit of retaliation. God's messengers must vindicate the truth, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. Present the truth in all its bearings. Proclaim and exalt the truth. From the Word of God, gather all the comfort and encouragement possible, and present this to souls struggling with perplexities and difficulties. But never bring a railing accusation against those who are deceived. This would give occasion for your words to be misunderstood and misrepresented and exaggerated and used in a perverted light. Thus, reproach would be brought upon the Lord's work and upon the Lord's servants. When Satan disputed with Christ about the body of Moses, Christ brought no railing accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." If the Prince of Life, when withstood by the arch-deceiver, was so careful in his words, shall not the followers of Christ be careful, lest they give occasion for their good to be evil spoken of? In meeting the enemy in the wilderness, Christ's response to his wicked insinuations was, "It is written." When Satan presumed to claim the ownership of the whole world and asked Christ to worship him as God, he, who with a word might have called to his assistance legions of angels, merely said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Matthew 4, verse 10. The intensity of this conflict we but partly understand. It seemed as though the Savior would die on the field of battle, but he withstood the wily foe. His words, so carefully chosen, were as sharp as a two-edged sword. Satan was thoroughly repulsed. He realized that the Prince of Life could not be deceived by any sophistry. We are now upon the field of conflict. Battle after battle must be fought with the enemy of God and man. But let us stand firmly. When dangers arise, we must meet them, let the consequences be what they may. I must bear a decided message to those who profess to love God and keep his commandments. Be very careful of your words. The message of truth is to be proclaimed more decidedly. Let the gospel be presented as the power of God unto salvation to souls who have been deceived and are being deceived. The Lord desires those who have erred to take their stand on the platform of eternal truth, that they may do thorough work in preparation for the future immortal life. Let no one seek to vindicate the course of those who continue to walk in opposition to a plain, "Thus saith the Lord." But let our brethren refrain from words of condemnation of their brethren, for such words will only stir up a spirit of retaliation. Let the Word of God be our study. Its truths are written for our instruction. Let us find our happiness in the joy that comes through obedience to the requirements of God. Those who live in harmony with Bible truth will have clear discernment. Heart to heart, they are united with the Father and with the Son. To as many as believe in Him, Christ gives power to become the sons of God. Those who are thus denominated as members of the royal family will live for Him who is the propitiation for their sins. As they follow on to know the truth, their feet are planted on the sure foundation. Neither flood nor storm can sweep away their foundation. The Lord has given to every man a message of power, and He calls upon each one to exercise that power in an effort to convert sinners from error to truth. Every Christian has some measure of usefulness and responsibility in working out the Lord's purposes. No one lives to himself. We are all the Lord's property. God has men of His appointment, whom He selects and qualifies for special service. If they will yield to Him, He will place them where His wisdom will increase their capabilities and make them to do work in His service that will be as enduring as eternity.